I'd like to start off with a very famous story that I don't know if you've heard. If you've heard, so it's good to chazer it. Definitely Gris guys have heard it by now. But it's a very important story to know. It took place around 200 years ago on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Tav Kuf Tzadik Vav, in Lumja. The city was all excited, getting ready, cleaning the streets, getting up, getting dressed in their, you know, in their Shabbos clothes. The children were lining the streets, getting ready to break out in song when the great Gaon Rabbi Akiva Eiger was going to show up in their city. He was coming to visit the city of Lumja. He was going to stay by one of his relatives. Everyone was going to be able to line up and get a bracha to ask him questions. He was going to give shiurim. He was going to be there for a number of days. Rabbi Akiva Eiger comes. They sing songs. He settles down, and there was a whole organized line to meet with Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And one of the families that went in to meet with him was of Hirsch Leib and his wife Etel. And they came in, they walked in the room, and immediately Etel broke down in tears, and she was sobbing, and she was crying in front of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And she was trying to get the words out of her mouth. She says, "We have 9 sons. Every one of them is a Gaon. Every one of them is an Eloi. They learn and they love learning and they understand the learning. And they're all going upwards. But we have one son, Moshe Noach. He's 15 years old. He's a brilliant kid. He's a genius. He's good at everything that he learns and everything that he does. But for some reason, Gemara just doesn't go in his head. The most simple level of Gemara that the Rebbe started to teach in 4th grade or 5th grade, he's still not even on that level. And he's already 15 years old, and we don't understand it. Everything else gets into his head, he understands it. But when it comes to Gemara, he's like a rock. Nothing goes in. What's happening? Rebbe, could you please give him a bracha?" Rabbi Akiva Eiger looked at them, and I think they brought their son with them. He looked at the son, and he said, "It seems like at some point in your life, maybe sometime during your childhood, maybe recently, I don't know when, but you probably ate ma'achalos asuros. You probably ate foods that weren't kosher. And one of the damaging effects that not kosher food has on a person is it stops up their mind from being able to grasp the Torah, for the Torah not being able to fit or sit in their head." And the mother was beside herself. "We're so careful with kashrus in our house. I watch the shochet shecht, everything. I make sure I only get it from the best shochet. We have a rule in our house. Our kids can't eat out anywhere. They only eat what we prepare in our own home. It's always been like this." Akiva Eiger said, "No, but it must be. Maybe one time he ate somewhere else. At some point in his life, you got to think hard." But she said, "Okay, but even if that's the case, we come up with something. But what do we do now? How do we fix the problem?" Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, "The only way to fix this is to learn Torah with a lot of hasmada and with dochak, meaning without taking lavish comforts in this world and pushing very hard, learning extra strong. Maybe that could purify his body from the not kosher foods." They went back home and they're going back and forth. When could it be he ate something not kosher? What could it be that he ate? And they couldn't remember. And the kid that was thinking and thinking, and suddenly he remembered one time that he ate something outside of his house. 10 years ago, when he was about 5 years old. He was on his way back from Cheder going home, and he passed a wedding hall, and outside the wedding hall there was a frum Jewish wedding going on, and he knew one of the family members who was making the chasen, who happened to be right outside by the door, and told the kids, come in, we'll give you chicken, come eat with all of us. And he really, really was so hungry at the time. And he knew the family. And he came and he had a piece of chicken. That's the only time that I remember eating away from home. I remember it was Hanukkah time. And it was when I was 5 years old. I was in Kita, whatever. So now the parents are onto something. Quickly they run to the owner of the hall. And they beg him. They ask him. His name was Rav Trunk, I think. They asked him to look in all of his books. What happened on that night? Could you look? He said, 10 years ago, every week I make 2-3 simchas. What do I know? 10 years ago on Hanukkah." But they begged him, and he went down to the basement, and he looked through all of his old papers, till finally came up with that Hanukkah, a chasana that took place on a certain night of Hanukkah. It was the only chasana I think he made that Hanukkah, and it was the chasana of Rabbi Yekutiel Halpert. And it was his second wedding. In other words, it was his second marriage. He had divorced his first wife, and Yekutiel was married, his second wife, on that night. So Rav Hirsch Leib knew Rav Yekutiel. He still lived in the neighborhood. He went to Rav Yekutiel's house. He said, can you tell me about your chasen? Can you tell me about the wedding? Because it still didn't make sense in their mind. These are all from people. They're going to only buy from kosher shechita. It still didn't make sense. Rav Yekutiel told him who was Masada Kiddushin for him, who was the shochet at his chasana. He didn't understand why he's being asked all these questions, but the father said, okay, fine, thank you very much. He left, and he quickly ran to the shochet, who he said his name. And he said, do you remember shechting the chickens for Rav Yekutiel's chasana 10 years ago? And this was shochet, he already retired, but when he said the name of Yekutiel in his chasana, the shochet turned pale. And he said, I haven't stopped doing tshuva for that chasana until today. Why do you remind me of that? You know how many days I fasted because of the shechita, that chasana? And the father said, what do you mean? The shechita wasn't kosher? The chickens that night weren't kosher? No, chas v'shalom, it was a good shechita. Everything was kosher. But you don't understand, 2 weeks after the chasana, I bumped into a friend of mine who started yelling at me in the street. What do you think you're doing? Going against all the gedolim, doing shechita for a chasana that's usher. He said, what? What do you mean? He said, well, you didn't know? He's like, know what? So he said, didn't you know that the Baal HaTanya wrote a letter and signed by a whole bunch of gedolim that Rav Yekutiel is not allowed to get married again because the get that he gave to his first wife was a pasul get and he's still a married man? And he took out the letter. He said, I carry it with wherever I go because I feel terrible. Because look what it says in that letter. It says, and nobody should ever shecht for a chasana that Rav Yekutiel makes if he gets married again. And if any shochet that does shecht, all of his shechita will be nevelos. It will be not kosher shechita. No matter how good the shechting is. So the Baal HaTanya paskin that will be considered nevelos, any chicken shechted for such a chasana. And when I saw that letter, that means that all the chickens I served that night were considered like nevelos, and he was beside himself. And now the father reached the core of what was the source of his son's timtum amoach, why his son's head was so stopped up all these years, not being able to understand learning. He sent him to Eretz Yisrael to learn under my wife's great-great-great-grandfather, whose name was Rav Yaakov Kapel Shapira, who was like a tremendous tzaddik and talmid chacham in Yerushalayim, they were poor. And that's what he meant, to learn mitoch atchak. And he learned for 3 years, working very, very hard. And he ended up, he was tested by Rav Shmuel Salant and married the daughter of Yosef Kovner. There's a story that's recorded in a number of different places, one of them being in the Sefer Yerushalayim Shamala. A couple of years ago, so Rav Elia Baruch Finkel Zatzal, he was one of the Magidi Shurim in the Mir that was suddenly nifter at a young age. But he said that he was once by Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and an 80-year-old man walked in the room to meet with Rav Chaim, and he had tears in his eyes, and he broke down crying. And he said to Rav Chaim, he said, he was Hungarian. He said, when I was a kid, I was a big masmid, and I was very good at learning. I was at the top of my class. Everything was going well. I loved learning. My parents sent me to a yeshiva, you know, far away from the house. And one year, I came home. I was already bar mitzvah already. I came home for Shavuos. But when I got back to yeshiva after that Shavuos, nothing stuck in my head anymore. It was like a log, like a rock. I would hear shir, I didn't understand. I opened up the Gemara, nothing went in. I tried over and over, the Rebbeim didn't understand it. They gave me tutors, nothing was getting into my head. We couldn't figure out. Eventually, I left the yeshiva, I became a businessman. Just this week, I read the story about Rabbi Kiva Eger. I read the story in the Sefer Yerushalayim Shamala. And I remember that me too, when I went home that Shavuos, an Erev Shavuos, I was so hungry from traveling, I passed by some barbecue, and it smelled very good, and I ate a piece of pork. And now I understand why my head was so stopped up. What do I do now? Now I'm 80 years old, how do I get a tikkun for this? The story where I read it doesn't continue, it doesn't say what Reb Chaim answered him, but the point that we wanted to take out was made already. Rav Benzion Cook, he said he once went to Rav Yashiv. He had a question. There was a certain formula he wanted to give his baby at home. But there was a shaila in the kashas on the formula that he wanted to give the baby. And Rav Yashiv sat on the question. He said, listen, there's a whole list of reasons to be matir, and really it's mutter. But if you want your son to understand Tosos one day, I wouldn't take chances. If you wanted to be able to understand Tosos one day, then don't take chances. Even though it's mutter, don't take chances with such a thing. Because when it comes to ma'achalos asuros, it stops up a person's head and makes it, Torah not be able to enter and not be able to be understood. The pasuk in this week's parsha on ma'achalos asuros says, "Al tishaktu et nafshoseichem b'chol asheret ha'shoretz v'lo sitamu b'hem v'nitmeitem bam." So why does it say don't become tame with them v'nitmeitem bam? V'nitmeitem bam seems to be redundant. And it's spelled without an aleph, like the word tame is usually spelled. And the Gemara in Yuma says that it's from the word timtum, v'nitamtem bam. You'll get stopped up. Rashi says, otemet v'sotemet mikol chachma. Eating not kosher foods clothes up a person's mind and heart from being able to receive any chachma of Torah. It makes it hard to penetrate and get through. And very often, that could be a source for why somebody could feel disconnected from Torah or Torah just not sticking in. And then for that, first of all, it's important to understand the source sometimes for that feeling of distance, that feeling of disconnect, to know what there is to work on, and then to know that when one works extra hard in Torah learning and is chozer b'tshuva, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets rid of the effects of it. But it's something that's very difficult. The Maseiach Yesharim on this Gemara in the Kiyos, he talks about how more serious than many other sins is the damage that's done by not kosher foods or by mixing milk and meat and things like that. Because other sins, a person does them, but they don't become a part of his body. But when you eat something, it enters your blood, and the blood brings it to your brain, and it brings it to your heart. And Chazal say, Adam hu ha-nefesh, the blood of a person is where the nefesh resides. And it very much gets linked together with the person himself. Like when you read the ingredients on something, and you see what it's made up of this product, so a person also is made up of ingredients. And now listed as an ingredient is any ma'achalos asuros or milk and meat, not with enough time in between, is now in the very ingredients and makeup of his entire system. And it affects his heart and it affects his mind. The pasuk continues, the next pasuk. Wait, before that, in this pasuk, the Or HaChaim says something terrifying. He says, "Al tishaktu et nafshoseichem b'chol asheretz ha'shoretz." What do you mean? Why are they turning the verb sheretz into a verb? "Al tishaktu et nafshoseichem." And he says, because when a person eats a sheketz, he becomes a sheketz. Inside of him is sheketz. That's part of who he is. A person eats a rabbit, God forbid, he becomes part rabbit in him. And therefore, the verb of that animal is done to him. He becomes part of that, and now it affects his mind and his heart. The next pasuk says, "Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem v'iskadishtem v'hiisem kadoshim ki kadosh ani." Why does it say, be kadosh? Because I'm kadosh. So first of all, so whenever Kedusha is referred to in the Torah, it's always in reference to one of three things. Ma'achalos asuros, and when somebody eats not kosher foods like over here, it creates the opposite effect of Kedusha. Arayos, when somebody has illicit relations, usher interactions with the other with people that they're not allowed, that also creates a lack of Kedusha. And Avodah Zarah also creates a lack of Kedusha. And being pure from those three things put somebody in a place of Kedusha. And the Rambam in Sefer Kedusha, he calls a Sefer that talks about Ma'achalos Asuros and talks about Isurei Bia, people that one can't be with. He calls that Sefer Kedusha because to get Kedusha, one has to stay away from people they're not allowed to be with and stay away from foods that they're not allowed to eat. But why does the Torah say, make yourself Kadosh ki Kadosh ani? So we know that a person's main job in this world is to become davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come close to him. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides within this world, he resides within every single person. When the Mishkan was built, it says, "Vasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham." I reside in them. The goal is to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu reside within us. So, and there's a rule that Kedusha is attracted after Kedusha. And Tumah is attracted after Tumah. And Kedusha and Tumah repel from one another. Kedusha runs away from Tumah. Tumah runs away from Kedusha. There's stories that I read. Have you ever heard about what a dibbuk is? It used to be that there were dibbuks. Now there aren't dibbuks anymore. But when there used to be dibbuks, where you would have some trapped soul within a person that would communicate and things like that. So one of the things that we read in different eyewitness accounts and testimonies that when they would bring a Sefer Torah or a holy book next to somebody that had a dibbuk in them, the person would start to go nuts. He couldn't handle being next to Kedusha. Because Tumah and Kedusha run away from one another. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to us in the Pasuk, V'iskadishtem v'isem kadoshim, make yourselves kadosh. Don't eat ma'achalos asuros. Don't be with people you're not allowed to be with. Ki kadosh ani, I'm kadosh. And if you want me to be able to reside in you, then you have to be kadosh, because otherwise I can't and I won't reside there. And that's why are we talking about ma'achalos asuros? We just finished talking about the inauguration of the Mishkan, the first korban that was brought, the fire that came down from Shemayim, and right away we jump into talking about ma'achalos asuros. Why is that? Why now we're talking about not kosher food? So says the Sforno, because really the Iker goal is not just for the Shekhinah to reside in the Mishkan, but it's to reside in each person. And to now that the Shekhinah reside in the Mishkan, but we need it to reside in each Jew also. And therefore, how do you make that happen? Staying away from Malchus Asturos. The Mesillas Yesharim talks about how if a person would just be clear-minded, if a person would be would have healthy, normal way of thinking, he would look at not kosher food as poison. As poison. If let's say an announcement would come out and they would say that there's questions whether there's a certain food item out there that's poisonous or not. But the health administration would come out and say, no, there's nothing wrong with it. Nobody would buy it. For the one in whatever chance, let's say there's one bottle of Coca-Cola in the world that has poison in it. So there's a one in 100 million chance that your bottle is going to have the poison. But no one's going to buy Coke as long as those bottles are on the counter. Because people are terrified of poison. So that's how a person should look at Malchalos Asuros. Because the effect that it has on a person is so damaging in their lifetime and also in the future, later in life. The same way Kadosh Baruch Hu made things that are poisonous to our body and are unhealthy, and a person could die from certain foods. There are also things that are poisonous to our soul, that are poisonous to our neshama. We have to make sure not to kill or damage our neshama, which we're going to be with forever, and our bodies not. There's a very frightening in the end of the parsha in Shmini. So in the Sefer Shulchan Gavoa, he brings down from Chaim Ibrisk told about a certain letter of the Rambam. The Rambam had a kesha with a certain Rav in, I think it was in Yemen. Maybe not. He had a connection with a certain Rav from a certain city. And the Rav would write him questions and the Rambam would write back. At one time he wrote a question to the Rambam and the Rambam was frightened from his question. A Jew shouldn't have such a question. A question like that comes from a Nefesh Tamei. And he didn't write back. And the Rav wrote again, and the Rav wrote again, and finally the Rambam had to respond, and he wrote back, please check on the shochtim in your city. Check that the shechita, the slaughterhouses, that everything is going the right way. And the guy checked, and sure enough he discovered that he and the entire city, for the last 13 years, was eating not kosher meat. Meat that wasn't being shechted properly. And the Rambam smelled that in his question, that from a certain lack in his emunah could only be sourced in somebody having eaten ma'achalos asuros. There was a guy that once went on a Kirov seminar. It was like a week long. He was very convinced by everything there, but he felt, I can't change my life. This is too hard. But they were pushing. He said, I'm ready to take upon one mitzvah. You tell me what mitzvah to do, that's what I'll do, he said to like the Rav that was running the program. The Rav said, wow, what a huge achrayus. What am I going to tell him to do? One mitzvah? Should I tell him Shabbos? Because in every single malacha, a person is chayav kares. Should I tell him? Should I tell him taras and mishpacha that his wife should be going to the mikvah? Should I tell him to learn Torah every day? Should I tell him to wear tefillin? What should I tell him? He didn't know what to do, so he went to Rav Shach, and Rav Shach said, "Tell him to keep kosher." So keep kosher. That's more important than everything, and more than Shabbos, more than. But what do you mean? Why is keeping kosher the most important thing? So Shach said, you're right. On the level of Isser, it's lower than the other things you mentioned. But without keeping kosher, his head and his heart is going to be stopped up, then no other messages could go in. As soon as he starts keeping kosher and he's careful about that, he'll end up wanting to keep all the other mitzvahs. In order for Kedusha to reside in him, in order for Amunah to sit with him, he has to have his body pure from Malchalos Asuros and from mixing meat and milk and not waiting enough time in between. There's a famous story, I didn't go over it recently, so I'm not saying all the exact details, but a Rav brought in a group of Tamidim, and Rav Chaim was giving a bracha to every single one of them. And one Tamid he didn't look at, he turned away and didn't give him a bracha. And he was very insulted, and he told his Rabbi, I didn't get a bracha. So he said, no, don't worry, I'm sure it was a mistake. And he brought him right back to Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim looked away, and he didn't give him a bracha. So the Rebbe said to Rav Chaim, he said, he didn't get a bracha, he wants a bracha too. So he said, somebody that eats milk and meat together is going to get a bracha. And the guy turned white, and he went outside, and he said to his Rebbe, how did he know? He's like, what? He said, lately I started being lax and waiting the full six hours. There's a couple of times I was lax once, twice, and then I just got comfortable with it, and I don't wait the full 6 hours. How did he know that? Nobody could. And he started crying, and he said, I'm never going to do it again. So the Rebbe said, wait, let me bring you back to Reb Chaim. He brought him back to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim looked at him. He looked at him straight in the face, and he said, bracha v'atzlacha. He gave him a bracha. So he saw him. He was chodzeh b'tshuva, and now he was purified, and now he was cleansed. I'll end with one last mushel of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim says, I don't know in regards to what he said this mashal, but imagine you have a guy that's walking around outside in his bathing suit. Nothing else, just bathing, walking around right in the middle of the street, not in Ben Yehuda, in Meir Sharim, in Gaulis, walking around in a bathing suit. So, and you know him, he's like a normal person, he's respectable, he's an honorable man. What are you doing walking around in a bathing suit? Aren't you? And everyone's uncomfortable, so suddenly one of his close friends runs over to him and he says, where's your clothes? So he said, somebody stole my clothes. What do you want me to do? Somebody stole my clothes. So, okay, says Chafetz Chaim, you're right. It's not your fault you don't have clothes. But what are you doing walking around in the street? That's an excuse, but that excuse doesn't cover you up. You can't walk around like that. It's not, you still have to stay at home, find something to cover yourself with. When we come to Shemayim, nowadays, there's so many Hechsherim out there, so much good food, good restaurants, tons of products. It's not necessary at all for somebody to eat anything questionable, anything with any less of a very good Hechsher. There's no reason for it. We wouldn't treat something that has Suffolk poison in it. So definitely something that's Suffolk poison for eternity, Suffolk poison to Torah entering our head, Amunah sitting in our heart, connecting to Torah and mitzvahs and Tefillah and Kodesh Baruch Hu, to be able to be a Mishkan for Kedusha to reside within us. Anything that at all puts that at risk, what? Nowadays we for sure don't have any excuse. So we should be Zocha to be careful in making ourselves Kadosh from Machalas Asuros and from Gilei Arayos.